The gospel and sermon lesson for this morning is found in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. You can follow along either on the insert or the pew Bibles as I read in Jesus' name. Again, Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus had called the disciples to follow him. And literally, in this text, the disciples are following behind Jesus. Jesus is walking on ahead of them at a fast clip. He's on his way up to Jerusalem, and the disciples are lagging behind, amazed and afraid. Jesus, the last time he was in Jerusalem, had his life threatened. And so there they are, timidly following Jesus as he resolutely goes to Jerusalem. And so what does Jesus do? Does he offer words of comfort? No. He turns up the heat. And he predicts now for the third time his death. He says, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of the Pharisees and scribes. And they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. And those Gentiles will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Jesus doesn't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't alleviate their fears at all. And James and John, they're kind of uncomfortable with this whole thing. And so they try and change the subject. Let's talk about something nicer, they think. Well, something nicer at least for them. They say to Jesus, "Let's talk about heavenly seat arrangements. Jesus, when you sit on your glorious throne and when you are there in your glory, how's about you let each of us sit on either side of you? One of us at your right and one of us at your left." Now, in all of the Gospels, but especially in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples come across as idiots. Here's Jesus talking about his death and resurrection, and they're worried about calling shotgun in the heavenly ride. It doesn't work that way. And yet, I find these moments where the disciples show that they're thick-skulled and that they're numbskulls, I find these so refreshing. They show just a brutal honesty about themselves. And these moments give credibility to the Gospels that they're true. Because if the disciples were starting up some new fake religion, don't you think they would have portrayed themselves as a little bit smarter in the Gospels? Anyway, James and John come with this imbecilic question. And Jesus, you can just imagine the look on his face as he pauses and says, "Are you sure you know what you're asking? Because you don't really know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized?" That cup that Jesus is talking about, that he's asking them if they're able to drink, that cup is the cup of God's wrath against all sin. That cup is the cup that Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane that the Father would take away from him. And yet, thank God that Jesus ended that prayer by saying, "But not what I will, but your will be done, Father." Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? James and John, kind of predictably, "Sure, we're able." You can just, again, see Jesus, "Okay." And Jesus goes on to explain what's going to happen. He basically says, "You know what, I am in the death and resurrection business, and that's all that I'm into. As far as who gets to sit where, that's not in my job description. Those seats have already been appointed for those for whom they've been prepared." And I don't know what the other 10 disciples thought of all of this. Maybe they thought Jesus saying that was Jesus telling James and John that they got to sat in those positions. I don't know, but after hearing all of this, the other 10 disciples, well, they're upset. And so Jesus, kind of sick of the whole lot, he wants to just wipe the slate clean and basically start over. He calls all of the disciples and he has a closed door team meeting. And he says, "Listen here, guys. All of this talk about glory and power and who gets to sit where, that's all Gentile talk. That's how the world talks. That's not how it should be among you. You see, guys, the world works this way. The CEO finds out that something's going wrong, and so he calls his VP of production into his office and he chews him out. And the VP takes it on the chin and leaves the office apologetically. But then once the VP is out of earshot of the CEO, he finds his first manager and he lays it out on him. And that first manager, he goes and he finds the shift leader, and so on and so on and so on. Those who seem to have authority over others lord it over them, but it doesn't work that way in my kingdom." Jesus says, "If you want to be first, you be last. If you want to be ruler over all, you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that last couple of sentences is the key to this whole text. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. When God shows up, it's not to get stuff from us, it's to give us, his people, his blessings. So if you think you come to church here each week to do your duty to God, or if you think that you coming to church will get you on the right side of God and get God in your back pocket, you've got it all wrong. When God shows up, he shows up to serve. He shows up to serve you. and to give His life as a ransom payment for you. This is the last Sunday of normal Lent, if you'll let me call it that. Next week is Palm Sunday, and it starts Holy Week. And in next week's gospel text, we'll see exactly what Jesus is talking about. We'll see the culmination of all of this being delivered to the Gentiles and being mocked and flogged and spat upon and crucified. We'll see all of that take place. We'll see that the only place where Jesus is given glory as the King of the Jews is when a placard is placed above His head as He hangs on the cross. We'll see the identity of those who have the honor of sitting next to Jesus at His right and at His left as He hangs in His glory, and it's two robbers. We'll see Jesus, the Son of Man, giving His life as a ransom payment for you and for me. This is what Lent is all about. It's about God serving us. And so let me take you back to Jesus' initial question to James and John. And I love the way that He does this. I can almost hear Him saying this. What do you want me to do for you? But turn that question to yourself. What do you want from Jesus? Do you want to sit all chummy with Jesus with power and glory and majesty? Or do you want Jesus to come and to serve you and to give His life as a ransom payment for you? And before you answer that question, just think for a moment. Where is the greater glory? Is it in doing something for God? Or is it in being served by the Son of God in the flesh? I have to apologize to you and to the disciples for calling them numbskulls and imbeciles earlier in the sermon. That's not really fair to them. So often we think that we have an advantage, or that the disciples had an advantage over us being able to walk with Jesus those 3.5 years. But it's actually the exact opposite. We have an advantage over them. We get to see what happens on Good Friday through the window of Easter. We live after the resurrection. For us, the chronology of Good Friday goes through the window of Easter. And despite all of their faults, the disciples are to be admired, especially for recording their own faults, their own foolishness, and even their own downright evil. But we can be thankful that they recorded those things for us, and they were comfortable doing that because they knew after the resurrection that the sacrifice of Jesus, that His forgiveness, that His grace covered all of their screw-ups throughout Jesus' ministry. And you know what? That same forgiveness, that same grace is what covers you. Your Lord, your Savior, came and served you and gave His life as a ransom payment for you. You see, the story of Christianity, it's not about the best and most righteous and most holy working their way up to God. It's about God descending to serve. It's about God descending to serve you and me, the worst of sinners. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.